Geek Free with Simon O'Connor. Fridays at 10 a.m. Right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
So as listeners know, we've taken over the breakfast show. Various hosts are, well, hosting. And as well, I'm wanting to talk to some of the other hosts. So this morning, I have Diwa DeBoer. He is the host of The Dialogue, which is on Friday from 1 to 3. Diwa's been at this far longer than I have, which is also demonstrated by the fact that he can do a three-hour show and I'm barely capable of doing two. So Diwa, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on breakfast. And I don't have a show this afternoon, but I will be back next week. And I did do a three-hour show for a while, but it is actually very intense to do a three-hour show, Simon. So I've been doing a two-hour show for the last few weeks, just like you. So don't feel too bad.
Oh, that's good. It's always in my background. I'm always feeling guilty about something. Hey, look, your show is really delving into some pretty serious issues and actually bringing a really breadth of thought. But there'll be some listeners of my show that haven't yet engaged with The Dialogue, as they haven't perhaps engaged with other shows. So just give us a bit of a brief about what you focus on in The Dialogue and why radio. Actually, I'm going to throw that in as well. As we turn the tables on you, you're normally hosting and asking the questions, and here's me grilling you. So yeah, tell us about your show and why radio.
Well, if your listeners are catching your shows live, usually mine should be right after. So it's nice and easy for them to catch the show live. And the replays, of course, they could just go and find online. And the focus of the show is talking about politics, power, and culture. Those are the three little words that we put in the byline. And I do a lot of interviews with sort of international patriotic or nationalist movements, conservatives overseas. So try and get a good overseas view. And I try and focus a lot on New Zealand history and European history as well. So sometimes we'll talk about some great battles of history. I'll do a what happened this week in New Zealand history. So we'll go back, you know, we've got about 200 years of New Zealand history to kind of focus on. So there's a lot of stuff that I can do there. And I guess that really wraps up the core of my show, is a mix between contemporary politics and overseas and how that's grounded in history and conservative tradition.
Oh, look, I love it. As you say, your show follows mine. So after I've sort of stepped out of the chair, I actually find it quite relaxing to listen to your show, or sometimes I'll go and grab replays, A, because it's interesting, and B, I'm not the one having to run things anymore. It's just very calming to sit and be. I think, you know, when I've listened to your show, you would be a great proponent of understanding that history actually gives us a bit of a guide. You know, we don't look and read history just because it's interesting. Would you see it as something which is also a guide for our future?
Yeah, absolutely. There's the old saying about history repeating itself or history rhyming. And definitely, I think learning from the past is very important. And also, there's a lot of stuff in the past that sometimes gets buried, sort of who controls the past and who gets to determine what we know and what we don't know from the past is something that I believe is very important. And being a conservative, kind of the focus on what do we take from the past, why were things done the way that they were done in the past, and why should we keep doing them that way, and how should the past inform the things that we change in the future is a really important thing.
This might be a cheeky question, because it's quite a big question at one level, but you talked about focusing on things like patriotism and actually nationalism, loving your country and being conservative. My impression at times is those three words or three concepts are often, I don't know, poo-pooed or belittled in the likes of legacy media. I mean, why do you think that is? Because being patriotic about your country is a good thing, isn't it?
Well, the left especially, and the liberals who have evolved into progressives and various other far left groups sort of associate nationalism and patriotism with the opposite of what they are trying to achieve. So they're trying to achieve a global world that's completely connected, where everyone is the same and everyone continually moves forward to achieve more and more progress. And they see people being grounded in their nations, people being grounded in cultures and traditions, as something that gets in the way of their plans. So anything that's patriotic or nationalistic is simply the opposite of what the progressives want, and that's why they hate it.
Gosh, well, as Margaret Thatcher said, you know, the sort of progressive goal is for everyone to be equally miserable. But that's a whole nother conversation. So with all the interviews you've done, are there any that particularly stand out? Is there a particular conversation you go, you know, wow, that was quite a remarkable interview?
The interview that I get a lot of comments still from, just had the other day when I ran into someone who's listening to my show and they like to talk about my interviews that I've done with people from South Africa, and especially Joost Strydom from the Orania movement, kind of people who are trying to build a town in the middle of nowhere that's focused on their culture, kind of going back to cultural preservation. So that's a really interesting topic that people come back on. And I've recently spoken with a historian and author on the British Empire, John McLean, and it was quite a eye-opening interview. And I've never really had someone so eloquently put the positives of the British Empire to an audience, and that was really great to do.
And one of the great things, as we both know about RCR, is that listeners are able to get hold of these previous interviews just to obviously jump onto the webpage and onto the app and track them down. Hey, last question. It's somewhat from left field, moving not so much in New Zealand or South African spaces, but there is a lot going on in the United States of America at the moment. What are you? What are your predictions for what's looking to be a Trump-Harris battle?
It's certainly a fast-moving space. Things change every single day. We had Joe Biden basically step down from running for re-election, and he's still the president as of this moment, I believe. Then he disappears for a few days, and then he shows up again. And clearly, very chaotic inside the Democrat Party and inside their field, and they're hoping. I think what they're hoping for is that Kamala Harris will give them an opportunity to sort of reinvigorate their base, to create energy, because all of that energy was gone, especially with the attempted assassination on Trump, then the Republican convention. I think the election will be close. Like, it should be a landslide. It should be a landslide for Trump, but it's going to be close. I think very few people will have their minds changed, even with Harris or Biden. I don't think that was going to make a big difference to the outcome, but it's going to make a big difference to the way they run the campaign and the kind of energy of getting volunteers in. And I think they were very much just running out of steam, and they were going to run it into the ground with Biden. And they're hoping that Kamala Harris is going to turn that around. I don't see that as being successful. And I certainly hope they're not successful. But they felt like they just had to change something, and they were out of options.
Oh, they certainly were. I mean, I love what you said at the start. I'm not trying to be too partisan here, but I think even objectively, one can step back and go, how is it that a president is one moment present, next moment disappeared, goes quiet for days around one of the most arguably significant presidential actions in a long time? It's just, I don't know, amusing at one level, scary at another, scary at another.
Yeah, it was a soft coup, and the media was completely on board with it, and that's why we didn't hear much about it. And in the end, they were successful, kind of complete. Everyone got in line, and everyone fell in line with the new talking points, and they managed it quite successfully.
Look, I would agree. There was an orchestration there because of simply just how smoothly it's happened. You know, my words here, but they pushed Biden out, and within literally minutes, the endorsements were coming in, and now they've got the candidate, in this case, Kamala Harris, that they want. And yes, everyone's singing off the same hymn sheet. I don't know about you, I occasionally jump on and watch between Fox and CNN, and it's just quite remarkable. Each has their talking lines, and they just won't deviate.
Now, certainly, and I don't watch Fox or CNN. Everything's online now. You know, you asked that question I didn't answer right at the beginning about radio. Why radio? And the reason I'm doing radio is because I was asked to do radio. You know, RCR invited me on, and I did think, radio is a little bit old school, kind of. It's old school, but it turns out that it's really working well. The team has done a great job with Reality Check Radio, and it's a wonderful thing to be involved in. And I think we'll evolve. With the way that the modern media is changing, the way that new media is working, the way that everything's online, the way that everything's striking a good balance between long form content, which we're doing amazingly, and trying to get into that very tight short form content as well. It's now the dominant way that media is consumed. So a very, very fast changing media landscape to be part of. And it's an exciting thing. And I'm very proud of what we're doing.
Oh, and rightly so. I think, Diwa, you've hit the real final point, which is actually RCR fills a really important gap where people can get good information. So, Diwa, thank you so much for coming on. To listeners, you can check out his show every Friday from 1 to 3 o'clock. I encourage you to do so. And again, Diwa, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me on, Simon. Good luck with the rest of the show.
Thank you.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.